I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News. Dickinson College visiting professor. That's important. In Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy, Pearl Harbor, the Second War. Hal Brands, a distinguished historian, is also an opinion columnist at Bloomberg, wrote a provocative piece momentarily. It's looking a lot like World War II out there. Apparently, there's been a debate in the professional observer class of our think tanks that this is World War I, the bloody-minded way they fight it in trenches. But Mr. Brands is suggesting it's World War II. Now, Jeff McCausland happens to be an expert on Pearl Harbor. And Pearl Harbor is the trigger that pulled the U.S. into the war. Remember, we were out of it. There was Lend-Lease, but we were not combatants at the time of December 7th. Jeff, what do you make of Mr. Brand's argument that this is looking like the Second War, an accidental catastrophe that pulled civilization down to its knees?
Well, I think it is much more a parallel to the Second World War than the first, though you could have an incident which might be a parallel to Sarajevo, the killing of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand, that could ignite a conflict, whether it was a missile going the wrong direction or planes colliding or getting in the wrong airspace. Those kind of incidents can cause rapid escalation. But what we've seen really is, as he describes it, you know, violent autocracies seeking to expand their empires, whether that empire is the Russian Federation or the empire of the Communist Party of the People's Republic of China, expanding their empire. If you look at it in terms of ongoing conflict in Europe, the parallels to me are really pretty doggone stark, because if you look back to, of course, Adolf Hitler and his talk at the onset of World War II was all about Lebensraum, that the German people needed more living space, and the Germans living outside of the borders of Germany, which had been shrunk at the end of World War I, in places like Austria, places like the western portion of Czechoslovakia, then Silesia and western Poland, that these needed to be brought back under the borders of the Greater Reich. And it's very similar in many ways to Mr. Putin's arguments beginning back in 2004 when he talked about Ruski Mir. What is Ruski Mir? The Russian world. And his argument that Russians living outside of the borders of the Russian Federation, be they in Georgia, be they in Ukraine, be they in Poland, be they in the Baltic Republics, Kazakhstan, they should be brought under the borders of the Russian Federation. We shrugged our shoulders, John, when he invaded Georgia. We shrugged our shoulders, actually, when he initially invaded Ukraine in 2014. But for those who are not interested in supporting Ukraine, I would actually simply ask them, does any of them really believe that Mr. Putin, if he was successful in seizing all of Ukraine, which is clearly his objective, would be satiated by that particular acquisition and not seek more, any more than Neville Chamberlain believed when he came back from Munich that he had brought peace in our time by acquiescing with Hitler to carve up a substantial portion of Czechoslovakia after Hitler had already occupied Austria.
And the attack on the U.S., December 7th. My memory of the explanation from the Japanese side is that they believed that the U.S. would negotiate after a certain bloody nose. Is that something that could be reproduced in Beijing or Moscow, believe that we would not surrender so much as back off, back away if we were attacked?
War is a contest of will, ultimately. War is a contest of will. And if you're Vladimir Putin right now sitting in the Kremlin, you are convinced that your willpower is far superior to the United States and far superior to the West. He looks at the United States, sees a polarized society, sees a lot of division, particularly over issues of foreign policy. He had just got reelected with over 80% of the vote, but we both know that was some degree contrived. He sees the United States unable even to take up a vote on additional military aid for Ukraine. So in his terms of willpower, his willpower is far in excess of ours. And the parallels back to the time before World War II are stunning. And don't forget, back in the 1930s, you had the American Firsters Movement, headed up by Senator Taft and by Charles Lindbergh, the aviator, who were holding rallies. There was a rally scheduled on the evening of December 7th, 1941, opposing any type of assistance to the countries involved in World War II that was supposed to be at Soldiers Field in Chicago. Obviously, it was canceled that day. But that particular attitude of American first is being duplicated by Mr. Trump and the right-wing portion of the Republican Party.
And a punch in the nose. You believe that the Kremlin thinks a punch in the nose would finish us off?
They may well believe that. The Japanese believe that if they could do a major attack and then expand their empire quickly, that the United States lacked the willpower to respond. And they obviously were proven incorrect. But Mr. Putin may believe that as well, particularly if he looks ahead and says there's a high likelihood that Donald Trump will be elected president of the United States. Don't forget that stunning scene back in 2018, John, in Helsinki, where Mr. Right. Putin is standing alongside of Trump after a very private discussion of which there are no record of what they talked about. There was nobody in the room except the translators. And Mr. Trump refuted any thought that Mr. Putin might well have interfered in the American election, stood up there and said he saw no reason to believe the Russian had interfered in our election, despite the fact that he had been briefed by all seven American intelligence agencies that they had clear evidence that they had. So with that kind of background and Mr. Trump's comments about American first and pulling out of NATO, if I was Mr. Putin, I'd be confident too.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired, CBS News. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.